Welcome to Real Estate and You. I'm your host, Scott Allison. I've got Jay Harmon with me, and we're going to talk about all kinds of things from trees to bees and all in between. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to Real Estate and You. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me today.
You know, on your commercial that you have on our show, you were just talking about tree wilt. What did you say? Oak wilt.
Oak wilt.
Well, talk to us. What is that?
We do have oak wilt in San Angelo now. We've actually had it for a couple of years, and it's predominantly in bentwood right now.
Great, right where we're buying a house.
Absolutely. We've had to cut down several trees, treated a bunch. Dr. David Apple from Texas A&M has come in. He's head of oak wilt research for A&M. We've had Renee Burks, which is head of the oak wilt division for the Texas Forestry Department, have come in, clearly said this is oak wilt, wrote up some articles on it, and right now in Bentwood on Clubhouse Lane and Putter, I mean, we have active oak wilt right now.
That's not what I wanted to hear. But so how do you, and you can treat it though, right? So it doesn't, because I love oak trees. That's my favorite tree.
Oak wilt is treatable. You have to catch it early. That's the key, is catching it
early.
Well,
how do we know? What do we do?
Well, soon, the problem is, I mean, once you know oak wilt, you can spot it a mile away, and you need to jump on it right then. Some people have thought you need to send off lab results to the, send tests off to the lab. By then, the trees, it's too late. Once you know, you need to treat it right then or it's too late. It is, if the tree is over 30% affected with oak wilt.
What does it look like?
Okay, it's hard. It's
For me,
and
I
you
have
don't
no idea
technically,
what you're talking about.
If you're looking for oak wilt, you need to look at the leaves on the ground. Okay, as soon as you walk up and you think, "Hey, this tree's sick," the leaves on the ground, and if you flip them over, so the bottom side of the leaves, it's called tiger striping. The veins are just bright red. They're striped. And now those are on live oaks. Red oaks look a little different. And for red oaks affected, you can physically smell it because it puts off this brown pores underneath the bark, but it's got a very distinctive smell. But it's predominantly the live oaks that are, you know, around here that are getting it right now.
Okay, so, but you, how do you treat it?
Okay. We use a chemical called Alamo. That's what the Texas Forestry Department recommends. There's a few other chemicals, and I have been successful using some of the other ones as well, or in conjunction with the Alamo. But you have to drill into the tree, into the cambio layer, and inject it with syringes, and that's the only way to treat it. Now, if you get out on a ranch, say if we were on your ranch or something where you have 9 million trees, not saying you don't have enough money, but it would physically break most people to treat trees like that. So when you get into a ranch...
You can go ahead and say that, because okay. It's true.
if we had to go out onto your ranch, and so that point, when you get into a ranch area, you can break up the roots. You go in there and just physically dig up and break up the roots, so that tree that has it can't pass it on to the trees around it where the roots are touching. But if you get into a neighborhood, you physically can't do that. So your only option is to drill the tree and inject it.
Folks, so you know what I just heard him say? Get on your phone and call Angelo Tree Experts and say, come help me. Jay, come.
Yeah, see, and here's the problem. Some people, the tree starts looking sick and it ends up dying, and they just call their lawn guy. Hey, come cut my tree down. So then that lawn guy doesn't know the tree's got oak wilt. He cuts the tree down, throws it in the bed. His saw's effect goes to another tree and does a little trimming. And then it's all over the town. You know, if you think your tree is sick, call somebody and let's look at it. And that way we know if it is oak wilt. And then we can document it. We have the only mapping service in town that's tracing the oak wilt.
And we work hand in hand. Because, you know, we save trees.
We do, and that's a federal trademark. We physically own that. We just didn't make that up.
I think it's pretty cool because, especially around West Texas, unless you're talking about mesquite trees, you can get rid of those. But well, oak trees.
And you believe it or not, some people have paid me to save their mesquite trees.
We won't do that at the race, I promise you. We got that. So we've got the trees and feed them. We talked about that before, and I still don't quite understand because you're talking to. I told you I put a bunch of those little things I got at Lowe's and all around them.
The fertilized stakes, yeah. I'm not a big fan of. Not saying they don't work, and they can. But a lot of times you can stake them, put them in the ground, and you put it right on top of that root. And not knowing, because you can't see under the dirt, and then we do get that 10-inch rain like we did, and it will burn that root and then, you know, damage the tree. So I'm not a fan of those. You're better off buying some type of wettable fertilizer like your Miracle-Gro, mix it up in a 5-gallon bucket and pour it around the tree versus those tree stakes.
And that's what Claire does on our stuff. That's why, well, she has the green thumb. You know, I can't, the only thing I can't kill is a mesquite tree. You know, but other than that, I have the brown thumb. Okay, so the trees, if you got a problem, and I think, like you said, getting it, like a sickness of any kind, if you get it early, you can fix it. If you don't, sometimes you can't.
Extremely fixable. Most times, though, here's what it is. The tree looks sick. They see it. They wait a week or two. They go to their local nursery or Lowe's or something and buy something, do it themselves. And now it's a month and a half, 2 months into it, and the tree doesn't look any better. Then they call me. So I'm dealing with a half-dead tree at this point because they thought they saved some money, and then in the long run, they didn't.
Okay, I've used myself. I don't really know anything about what you're saying. And I look, I say, I just don't think it looks good. And I call you. How much am I talking about for you to come say yay or nay?
We don't charge anything to come look at a tree.
Okay, folks, listen to this. Now, how easy is this? You just saved a ton of money listening to the show today with Jay. He just told you that if you even think that you got a problem, he'll come look at it for free. It doesn't get any better than that.
No, it does not.
And if you do have a problem and you check it early, he can help it and get and save your tree.
Absolutely.
And go to Shirts, go to Lowe's, go to any place. Price a big old tree right now and see how much they cost.
I tell you what, I bought a couple of trees yesterday and hauled them to Rankin and plant them, and $1,000 a pop for a very small tree, you know, 6-inch diameter. So,
you're talking big, thousands of dollars.
Absolutely.
Okay. We've talked about the trees, and now that's just one of your mini services. And you're talking about the ranch. The one reason you know it is I had termites down there.
You did, yes, sir.
And tell them what you did.
Well, when we got down to Scott's ranch, he had termites, and they were subterranean termites, meaning they live in the soil and come up to eat on the wood, and every 24 hours have to return back to the soil. And so what we did is we came in and drilled your house through the concrete, tile, brick, and injected a termiticide between the slab and the soil to treat the termites.
And I want to say one thing you've done, and I've looked at a whole lot of houses over the years, and I don't know how you did it. But he said, I'm going to have to drill in your tile, and I'm going to have to drill over the cement. I was like, oh, man. But when you, I noticed you saved some of the dust, and you did this, and you did that. You can see them if you're looking for them. But if you don't know you came and drilled, you won't just walk by and say, oh, look, you drilled a hole here. So I've never seen people take that much care in doing that.
You know, it's pride, Scott, and I've got a lot of pride. And I got started in Midland, and there was 9 million termite companies. I was a 22-year-old kid right out of college. So the only way I could sell myself and to make realtors use me is I promised them that when I was done treating that house, they wouldn't know I was there. And that's just carried on to now I'm an old fat guy, and it's carried over.
As a homeowner, I appreciated that.
Well, thank you.
Because you don't want to walk. It's right there at your front door, your back door, your around your house. You're going, man, I don't want this to look ugly.
And I have walked into houses where you see the big old holes, and you just know they didn't take pride. They didn't care about that. And that's the first thing you see.
Okay, so you were talking about the subterranean. Because we talked earlier a little bit in a previous show that we had the good termites. I know there's no such thing as a good termite, but
if out of the termites, we do have the good ones.
Because I was told on the Geographic show or whatever, you know, they show this pile of dirt or wood chips, then you're going, oh my God.
Well, there's termites from dry wood to Formosa when they can do hundreds of thousands of dollars of damage to your structure, and you won't know it until it's too late. At least with subterraneans, just like yours, you know, they did some cosmetic damage, but they didn't do any structural damage. You were able to see it. And if they were in there eating out on that ranch and they'd without the cosmetic damage, you wouldn't know until, you know,
until
you too
see
late.
It.
That's right.
Okay. And I've heard before that you don't kill termites, you move them. And you told me, no, that's not true. You can kill them now.
In the old days, the Duraban, now we're not talking Chlordane.
Because you can't use it anymore.
That's right. Chlordane would kill anything, even humans. That was the problem. But your Duraban things, those were called repellents. It means it physically would repel the termites. The termites would sense it and disperse to another, whether it was your neighbors.
Yes.
You know, kind of out of sight, out of mind.
I got rid of my termites. Guess where they went?
That's right. But with the chemicals now, those are called non-repellents. It means they allow the termites to travel through it, keep on eating on your house, just like everything was normal. But the termites, then they go back down, they rub up against each other. That's how they communicate, is through touching. So one termite gets it, and it spreads to the other 5 billion termites, and it will physically kill the termites.
Okay. One more question. You were talking to Jeremy earlier. You were talking about swarming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's when they look like little flying ants?
They will look like flying ants, and technically, they have four wings. The only insects out of 1.3 billion that have four equal size wings, and the 1.4 is an not quite for sure on that number, so don't hold me to that. But well, they are.
If you're close to a million of the billion, we're
okay. That's right. Yes, but they are the only insects that have four equal size wings, and but it appears to be two. But the termites that are typically white that kind of look like maggots, they grow an exoskeleton and they turn so they it's basically a shield of armor and they turn black and they grow wings and then they fly off and that's how they keep, you know, spreading all across Texas.
When you see them swarming, does that mean that you have termites for
sure? That's 100% you have termites.
Okay, and it's where they are, you don't know for sure. But
that's correct. Now, if they're in your house, I guarantee you they're going to go to the nearest light source, no matter where they at. You may see them on the window. That doesn't mean that's where your termites are. They're going to go to the nearest light source.
So if I go and I see swarming termites, mm-hmm. We need to give you a call.
Absolutely, yes.
Because they're somewhere.
They're somewhere in your structure.
Next one, and this is a big real estate question. You say there's no termites in the house, but there's termites in the fence.
Okay.
You got to see him shaking his head.
How do you answer that? Pretty much every fence, house, yard is going to have termites. Doesn't mean your house does. It doesn't mean you go out there and start treating your house because your fence has termites. You have wood touching the ground in West Texas. You're going to have termites on it. So my professional opinion, just because your fence has it or they're coming in your yard doesn't mean you go and treat your house tomorrow.
But how do you treat the fence?
You don't. Well, you can. You can treat the fence, but it's not going to last forever. It's something you probably have to do here. I found that the fences that are stained typically will not get them. Untreated fences are going to get termites, but the stained fences typically don't. You can spray them down with the pesticide, but, I mean, how much good money are you going to keep throwing away?
Well, and what you said, I know in the newer houses, they're using the steel and the cement slabs,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it comes for the what's that point, you know, where it can't crack or stops it from cracking,
uh-huh.
where it goes through all the way through. Well, the older ones, and still some of them, they had the wood.
That's right.
So you for sure have wood touching the ground.
That's right. And even if you, with fences, you're going to have wood touching the ground regardless. Houses, even with, I don't care how big of a house you build, how fancy, how nice the slab is, you're going to get cracks. Even if you don't have cracks, the termites will come up the tubes. And
you know, they say it dries and it cracks,
that's
guaranteed.
It.
And it's going to happen.
That's what's
going to
happen.
Especially in West Texas. When we go from a drought to 10 inches of rain.
That's right.
That soil moving, it has to.
The soil
it's got to give somewhere.
That's correct.
So.
And we were in the bluffs just yesterday working and moving rocks and boulders, doing some xeriscaping, and the termites were just swarming out of the ground. Now, I doubt that their house had termites, but they were coming out of the ground left and right. I mean, just by the hundreds.
And you were saying, Arthur, because of the and again, thank you, God, for the 10 inches of rain.
That's it.
But that – I know we have mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
But now, does that increase termites?
No, absolutely not. The rain always will bring in the termites.
Like it does the ants?
Absolutely. You never know. The termites have to swarm every year. You just there's no scientific say, hey, you know, May 1st or June 1st, it's going to swarm. Humidity, rain, all that mixed together will make the termites swarm. We had the big rain, I think, Sunday or night or Monday morning, and that's what did it. And it happens that way every year.
I think we did a good job covering the termites. What about the ants? Because, I mean, just yesterday we were in the front yard. Of course, it looks good now from the rain, but there's ant beds.
Absolutely. You know, the fire ants are going to pop up after the...
nasty little critters.
After the rain or even the big red ants. So, you know, the rain is good, but it also brings mosquitoes.
Which I'm glad you brought, because we had a guy email us. Do red ants eat termites, the big ones?
No, carpenter ants. Now, the carpenter ants will eat termites.
Is that the big one?
That is the big ones that are in the structure. That they don't. Carpenter ants do not live in your house, but they you know,
you'll
will go in there to
kill all the grass and have a big.
No, those aren't carpenter ants.
What are those?
Are just big red ants.
Okay.
But those are not carpenter ants. And I've never seen those eat termites. They probably could. But I wouldn't see a termite and those ants being in the same vicinity.
Because I've heard people say, don't kill that ant big because they eat termites.
That's not true.
A myth.
Yes. Now, yes, they would if you just threw some termites down there. They're not going to get the swarmers. And a termite colony is not going to be anywhere near that. So the carpenter ants will eat termites. But those ants that are in your yard that kill the grass and that, no.
Yeah, we probably don't need to call you for the red ants. Just go get some ant poison and pour on it?
Yes, sir. You know, you go to Best Tech, Shirts, anywhere like that, and get a granular bag and just put it down in the yard.
And what about dogs if you put the granular out?
It doesn't hurt the dogs.
Perfect. No, okay, so we got our termites fixed. We got our trees fixed. Now, and I know we called you on this too. We're out at the lake house. the one wall, bees.
Bees.
You were talking, the guy was complaining. He said, and I thought he was joking. We had some cabins out there that we ran out. And he said, there's honey dripping out of my wall. And I was like, oh, yeah, right. There really was, wasn't there?
Absolutely, honey dripping out of the wall. You know, the honeybees have been around for years. And I guess about 10 years ago, I started treating them, and I couldn't believe the things that I found. But we've had to tear exterior brick off, sheetrock out of the ceiling to physically. And if you don't remove the honeycomb, you're never going to kill the bees. It's just not going to happen.
Now, do you actually kill them or do you move them?
No, we kill them.
Kill them?
Now, you can't. Some counties, the bees are quarantined. So you because of the killer bees, Africanized, you have no choice but to kill them. Tom Green County is not. But for my company, we have found it easier just to eradicate them and be done.
And probably cheaper.
That's right.
And most people point blank want
right.
cheaper.
And one of your agents, Debbie Wilson, she owns a house out at the lake. And 2 or 3 years ago, she did not own the house. And some lady did and had bees, wanted us to kill them. But we had to remove this concrete tiles from the roof. And she said, absolutely not. Don't do it. I said, then we're not going to get rid of the bees. So we sprayed foam, left it alone. 3 years later, Debbie Wilson owns the house. The bees are everywhere. And I told her, we have to remove this roof to get to the bees. And we did. We removed it. And she happened to be inside there watching. And I don't know if she told you the stories just a couple weeks ago, but we pulled out a 55-gallon trash bag of honeycombs.
Wow.
Out of there. So we had to remove that red tile roof and then cut through the wood to get in there. And once we did, then there was
okay,
the honeycomb.
Okay, please. How do you do it without just getting stung all over?
We wear bee suits.
So I can't wait. We need a picture of this.
I do wear bee suits.
We need a picture of the bee suit guy.
And Debbie was there. And at the very end, I got a little lazy. And I took, because it's hot. And so I took my mask off, and because I had them under control. And I took my gloves off and put on a different glove. And one stung through my glove and got my finger. But typically, I mean, if you're smart, you put your bee suit on and you cover up, you're okay. And I remember, Scott, this happened to be probably in the 90s. Bee suits were like $400, and I thought, I'll never make that kind of money to purchase a suit. And so we just put on, it'd be summertime, we'd have on our winter jackets and Oakleys and, you know, put the hood on and go out there and fight bees. And I remember the first bee suit I bought, you gotta realize back then that $400 was a lot of money.
Still quite a bit of money.
Well, yes, it still is, but it was a lot then. And when we weren't charging nearly as the same amount for the bees. But the very first time I put on that bee suit, we were kind of out toward Garden City doing a killer bee job, the Africanized bees, and they had already killed a cow. And I had that suit on, and I was covered, and I was praying. And that suit was actually worth that $400, and it worked.
You know, I'm pretty sure you're braver than me. If I saw a swarm of bees just kill a cow, I think I'm going to go over there and jump in the middle of them.
Honestly, this is the only thing that will get your blood in the pest control business, get your blood pumping, is the bees. And I actually enjoy it. It's a challenge to do it. It's a challenge to locate them and actually remove the nest. I enjoy it.
I've got to, you know what? We better take a quick commercial break because I've got two more questions that I need to ask, but I still want to get into the landscape part.
Okay.
We'll take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.